Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. Whether you've been here your whole life or this is your first time with us, we are so glad you have found your way to this worshiping community. Check out your bulletin. There's a calendar. There are also announcements in there. And if you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask someone around you. There will also be an elder at the communion table following worship to receive any questions you might have. But if you have questions about today's worship, someone sitting around you or that elder at the communion table may not be very helpful. We have a very unique worship opportunity for you today. So take a look at your bulletin. We are changing the order of worship just a bit. We're going to gather our prayers of joy and concern after the prelude, and we are going to pray together. Our children are going to have time together. We will sing a hymn. So in case you missed that, Sunday school teachers, the kids are coming just a bit early today. And then we have an opportunity to reflect on a book that, well, we hear a few of the verses, sometimes at funerals or weddings and other occasions, but very rarely do we have the opportunity to put the book of Ecclesiastes into a greater context, to hear the voice of the teacher and to reflect further on what it is that voice is saying about his own life, the world, and God. And we thank our very own Roy Smith, our choir director, who has put together the script for today for our readers that will be here and also our violinist. So thank you all for making this a very wonderful and unique worship experience. All right, a few other announcements today. Let's see. Blood drive happened. Oh my goodness. There was so much happening here in this building on Friday and Saturday. The chief of police was actually here for the anti-racism training, and he said to me, Gates Presbyterian Church is one of the best churches in this community for the way that it models hospitality. And it is more than just a place where people come worship on Sunday morning. It really is a place that's living the gospel of Christ. So great job, and thank you for all the volunteers who help provide hospitality, not only for the blood drive on Friday, but also the anti-racism training on Saturday. And I know Al has something else to say about St. Joseph's.
Yesterday we served a meal at St. Joseph's, and everything went off without a hitch. We had just enough people to serve. We had all the food donations that we needed, and the crew showed up Friday night to prepare the meal. And the other sign of success was we had two or three people come up and say it was the best tasting goulash they'd ever had. It makes me happy. But an even bigger vote was we didn't have any left at the end of serving 70 people. So 70 people ate six pans, steam pans, full of goulash. So it must have been good. So thank you all for helping make it happen. It's a reminder that we do it all over again in December, the third weekend in December. We serve another meal. Around the holiday season, so put it on your calendar as something to look forward to. And we are taking cash donations to start to buy a few gifts for the St. Joseph wish list of items that they are run out of. Like, we didn't have enough cups to serve tea in yesterday, drinking cups, so we're going to take a little, see if we can take a collection, put it together, and buy some things for the next time we go. You'd see me for that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary.
Well, as Melissa said, this building is well used, and that's exciting. But it's also time for spring cleanup. Oh, wait. The leaves are turning. It must be fall. But does it not feel like spring? Right. So in your bulletin, there's information about it. And let's see, there are five things I need to remember about it. One, probably most importantly, there are donuts and coffee. Right? So that's good. Two, there's a job for anybody and everybody. So don't feel intimidated in terms of feeling like you have to be on a ladder or be super strong. Just look at me and know that there's a job for everybody. Let's see, three, it starts at 8:30 in the morning, but you can come anytime. If you can give just a half an hour, that'd be fantastic. So come and go as you please. If you can't make it next Saturday, we'd be happy to offer you the opportunity to have a different job. There are lots of things that can be done that don't have to be done next Saturday. So lastly, see a trustee and ask us, and we'll put you to work. So thank you.
Thank you. And also want to call your attention just real quick, back of your bulletin, you'll see the picture there. We are continuing our conversations about race and the ways that it impacts our faith and our world. We are doing another book study slash conversation. This time we're reading together Just Mercy. There are two different discussion opportunities, and one of them will be a Riverside neighbor, our larger Presbytery neighborhood here. So we'll be inviting folks from other Presbyterian churches to join us. But if you need a copy of the book and don't have Amazon Prime, let me know. I'll get you a copy. All right, friends, let us now prepare our hearts, our minds, our entire selves to worship God. As we gather our hearts together in a time of worship, giving thanks to God, we also bring with ourselves the world and the cares that press upon it. We also bring our very individual lives, our communities, our families, those whom we love, and those who we hold in prayer. So we're going to start worship today by gathering those prayers of joy and concern. If you have a joy or concern you'd like to share, raise a hand, and an usher will bring a microphone. And kids who normally leave for Sunday school at this time, so we always read your prayers, but today you have a chance to use your voice and share with us any prayers that are on your hearts today. So what are those prayers of joy, concern?
Keisha Binko, I have a dear friend, Jane, and Jane is struggling with alcohol addiction, and she's in recovery, and she's doing very well. Unfortunately, her 20-year-old daughter is currently suicidal, and she's away at college, and 3 hours apart, and they're really going through a really, really troubling time, and we just lift Jane and Julia in your prayers. Thank you.
Prayers for Jane and her daughter.
Irene Ward, I'd like to ask prayers for my mother-in-law, Pat. She ended up in hospital again. She's doing a lot better. And talk about getting her home today, and we're hoping to postpone that till tomorrow because we think she needs a little bit of extra time in hospital. So give her patience to take that if she has to.
Prayers for your mother-in-law, Tom's mom, who's been in the hospital. And we've got some here and some there. And, oop, right behind me,
Dr. Marconi. Prayers for Grayson, who goes in for surgery to remove two kidney stones tomorrow.
Prayers for your surgery tomorrow. Lots of them.
Okay. Ann Haig. I'd like prayers for my son-in-law, Bill Wooden, who has a very stubborn case of bacterial pneumonia. Doesn't seem to be able to shake it.
Is that your son-in-law, you said, Ann? Your son-in-law? Prayers for him. We saw one hand back there and over here as well.
Kate Stanford. I just want to say prayers for those that attended yesterday. I think we all had our eyes wide open and that the conversation continues.
There's a joy, also concern, right? It's a both and for those who attended the anti-racism training yesterday.
Prayers for Bonnie. She had surgery on her foot last Monday, which was fairly minor surgery and went well. And the post-op x-rays say she's doing well. But part of the recovery is she has to keep her weight off of her foot for 6 weeks. And she's had really no success at all with that. She's tried 4 different appliances, and she's kind of hobbling around with no appliance, and she occasionally falls, which is pretty scary. So, concerned for her.
Prayers for Bonnie and her journey of healing, and for you, Whit, as caregiver to her.
Next week, I'm hoping the doctor will give me a clear. I've had a sugar diabetes since January 29th, and in 3 operations, and I'm hoping to be cured this week.
All right. Prayers for that, Wendell. Prayers indeed. I think we've got one last prayer over here. Frona.
Listening to all these prayers, I'm going to share something with you. At Strong, where I volunteer, I went to see by a request from someone here to check on a baby. I couldn't go in the room, but I opened the door and I said to Mom, Gates Presbyterian is praying and praying for you. And she said, you know what? I feel it because my baby's breathing has slowed down. Yes.
Amen. Thanks be to God. Let us continue our time of prayer together. God of great grace and glory, yours is the voice that sometimes we struggle to hear, because you do speak to us about grace and forgiveness and unconditional love, but also suffering and dying and new life. We are impacted by so many voices that have to do with power and success, diminishment and judgment, voices that tempt us to try to earn your acceptance or prove ourselves to others. We do know that you are the voice that gives us life and meaning, that opens the possibilities of future to those who are hopeless. We are part of a people, oh God, sometimes who feel hopeless or cynical or complacent. Sometimes we're immobilized and become deaf. So we pray for new ears to listen, new hearts to be open to the ways of your love and life-giving. We pray that your voice is loud and clear, O God, to those who are suffering and who are grieving, who are struggling with health conditions or uncertainty. Bring stability and renewal to families who have been hurt by natural and violent disasters. God, grant all your people the peace that surpasses all understanding. We pray in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I am not sure that there's anything better than the Lord's Prayer with all the extra prayers added together. So those are wonderful. And so at this time, if all those tiny voices want to bring their bodies forward as well, so at this time, children are welcome to come forward. All right, and this is going to be a bit of a challenge, my friends. We are going to try to sit where we can see, which is right here. You guys, and we're going to look up at the screen today. I know. Ready? Come on up. So see where all the kids are? You want to make sure that you can see the screen. Ready? Oh, and you coming? I'm sorry, still no dinosaurs today, but here we are. One of these days. Come on, hi, friends. All right, so I'm going to start up here, and then I'm going to, let's see what we can do here. All right. So logistics are a bit challenging here this morning. Ready? So let's do this. Ready? I'm going to go through here. All right, Freya, you good? I don't want to step on you. We're good. Okay. There we go. I wanted all the not-so-little kids out there, too, to be able to see. Today, we have an opportunity as a congregation to hear a little bit more about a book in the Bible that, you know what, we don't read very often. The name of the book, you ready for this? Ecclesiastes. Can you say that? Let me hear. Ecclesiastes. Ooh, good job. Can you spell it? Oh, yeah. All right. Me neither. Me neither. So Ecclesiastes is a Greek word, so now you all are all extra smart, because you can say a Greek word, and it means teacher or teaching. And the book of Ecclesiastes is the voice of a teacher. And he has a lot of things to say about life. Not all of those things are very positive. This is a man who I think is feeling a little bit stuck in where he is. And he's having trouble a bit seeing where God's presence is in the midst of the world. Sometimes we all have those feelings where, man, we get up every day and we brush school, and it just feels like the same thing over and over and over again. Do you have those feelings sometimes? Yep, lots of head nods. Yep, kind of thought so. But in the midst of those everyday, ordinary feelings, there are also days that we just have really, really awesome days, right? Best things ever happen. And then we have days that are really, really hard. You all had those really hard, hard, sad days. Yeah. And the book of Ecclesiastes also reminds us through the voice of the teacher that to everything, there is a season. And that those really, really hard days don't last forever. That because of God's goodness and grace, those days, those seasons will change. Just like the weather outside, right? What season are we in right now? Who knows? Tell me. Tell me. Fall and all. What are the trees doing? Losing their leaves, turning bright colors. But what happens again in the spring? Those leaves come back and it gets all muddy and fun, right? For everything there is a season. So I'm going to share with you a book called To Everything There Is a Season. These are the verses of Ecclesiastes that you'll hear most often. They get read quite a bit. And this book has some really beautiful pictures that I'm going to show you. So if you all want to look up, and I'll read it to you as we go along, okay? The words aren't up there, so you'll just have to trust me on this. To everything, there is a season, a time to every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant. A time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill. And a time to heal. A time to break down. And a time to build up. A time to weep. And a time to laugh. A time to mourn. And a time to dance. Time to cast away stones. A time to gather stones together. A time to embrace. And a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get. And a time to lose. A time to keep. And a time to cast away. A time to rend or tear. And a time to sow. Time to keep silence. And a time to speak. A time to love. And a time to hate. Time of war. Time of peace. One generation passes away, and another generation comes. But the earth, God's love, is with us forever. Amen. So, my friends, you are invited to head to Sunday school if you'd like. And the teeny tiny folks, if they would like to head to nursery, are welcome to. I hope you guys have fun.
meaningly empty, vain, all meaningless. What does a man gain by all the toil he does under the sun? Generation goes, generation comes, and the earth remains. The sun rises, the sun sets. It hastens to the place where it rises. The wind blows to the south and goes around to the north. Round and around goes the wind, and on its circuit the wind returns. All streams run to the sea, but the sea is never full. To the place where the streams flow, there they flow again. All things are full of weariness. A man cannot utter it. What has been is what will be, and what has been done is what will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which it can be said, see, this is new? It has already been in the ages before us. There is no remembrance of former things, and nor will there be any remembrance of things yet to come, or those to come after. I, Kohelet, have been king over the people in the high city. I applied my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom all that is done under heaven. It is an unhappy business that the gods have given to the children of men. I have seen everything that is done under the sun, and all is vanity and a waste. I said in my heart, I have acquired great wisdom surpassing all who were over the high city before me. And my heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. And I applied my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceived that this also is but a waste of breath.
In much wisdom is much vexation. And he who increases knowledge sorrow.
Kohelet said he would test his heart with pleasure to enjoy himself.
Meaningless.
Laughter.
Folly.
Pleasure.
What use is it?
He searched with his heart how to cheer his body with wine, and wisdom guided his heart. He sought to lay hold on folly, till he might see what was good for the children of men to do under heaven during the few days of their life.
He made great works. He built houses and planted vineyards for himself. He made himself gardens and parks and planted them in all manner of fruit trees. He made himself pools from which to water the forest of growing trees.
He bought male and female slaves. Slaves who were born in his house. He had great possessions of herds and flocks, more than any who had been before him in the high city.
He gathered silver and gold and the treasure of kings and provinces. He got singers, both men and women, and many concubines, the delight of the sons of Adam.
Thus I became great. I surpassed all who were before me in the high city. My wisdom remained with me.
Whatever his eyes desired, he did not keep from it. He kept his heart from no pleasure, for he found pleasure in all his toil. And this was the reward for all his toil.
Then I considered all my hands had done and the toil I had expended in doing it, and it all was vanity. It meant nothing. There was nothing to be gained under the sun.
Thus did Kohelet the king.
king consider wisdom and madness and folly? For what can the man do who comes after the king? Only what has been already done. Then he saw that there is more to gain in wisdom than folly, as there is more to gain in light than darkness. The wise man has eyes in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. And yet he perceived the same event happens to all of them. And he said in his heart,
"What happens to the fool will happen to me also. Why then have I striven to be so very wise? This also then is very hollow. The memory of the clever fades just as quickly as the memory of the fool, since in time we will all have been forgotten. How the wise dies, just like the fool. I hated life, because what is done under the sun was grievous to me, for all is vanity and a striving after the wind. I hated all my toil in which I labored under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to the man who will come after me. And who knows whether he will be wise or a fool? Yet he will be master of all for which I toiled and used my wisdom under the sun. This also was meaningless. So I turned about and gave my heart up to despair over all the toil of my labors under the sun, because sometimes a person who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skill must leave everything to be enjoyed by someone did not toil for it. This is meaningless and a great evil. For what has a man from all toil and striving of heart with which he toils beneath the sun? All his days are full of sorrow. His work is a vexation. Even in the night, his heart does not rest." Meaningless.
There is nothing better for a person than that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his work. This also is from the gods, for apart from that, who can eat or who can have their pleasure?
To the one who pleases them, the gods give wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner, they give the business of gathering and collecting, and to give this to the man who pleases the gods.
Meaningless. It means nothing.
to everything. There is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die. Time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. Time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get, and a time to lose, a time to keep, a time to cast away, a time to rend, and a time to sow, a time to keep silence. Time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace.
What gain has the worker from his toil? I have seen the business which the gods have given to the children of men to be busy with. El has made everything beautiful in its time. He has put serenity into a man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what the gods have done from the beginning to the end. I've seen that there is nothing better for them to be joyful and to do good as long as they live, and that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in his toil. This is God's gift to man.
Whatever God does endures forever. Nothing can be added to it, nor anything taken away from it. God has done it, so that we might hear him. That which is already has been. That which is to be already has been. And God seeks what has been driven away.
I saw too under the sun, then in the place of justice, even there was wickedness. And even there in the place of righteousness, I said in my heart, God will judge the righteous and the wicked. For there is a time for every matter and for every work. I said in my heart about the sons of men that God is testing them, so that they may see that they themselves are but beasts. But what happens to the children of men and what happens to the beasts is the same. As one dies, so dies the other. They all have the same breath, and man has no advantage over the beast, for all is meaningless.
All go to one place. All are from dust, and to dust all return.
Who knows whether the spirit of man goes upward, and the spirit of the beast goes down into the earth?
So I saw that there is nothing better than that a man should be happy in his work. That is his lot. Who can bring him to see what shall be after him? Again, I saw all the oppression that are done under the sun, and behold, the tears of the oppressed. They had no one to comfort them. On the side of their oppressors there was power, and there was no one to comfort the oppressed. And I thought the dead, who are already dead, more fortunate than the living, who are still alive. But better than both is he who has not yet been, and who has not seen the evil deeds that are done under the sun. I saw that all the toil and all the skill in work comes from a man's envy of his neighbor. This also is vanity and a waste of breath. The fool folds his hands and eats his own flesh.
Better a handful of quietness than two hands full of toil and the striving after the wind.
Again, I saw vanity under the sun. One person who has no one else, either son or brother, yet there is no end to all his toil, and his eyes are never satisfied with riches, so that he never asks,
for whom am I toiling and and depriving myself of pleasure.
This also is vanity and an unhappy business.
Two are better than one, because they have good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken.
Better was a poor and wise youth than an old and foolish king who no longer knew how to take advice. For he went from prison to the throne, though in his own kingdom he had been born poor.
I saw all the living who move under the sun, along with that youth who was to stand at the king's place. There was no end to all the people, all of whom he led. Yet those who come later will not rejoice in him. Surely this is also vanity and a striving after the wind.
Steps when you go to the house of God. Drawing near to listen is better than offering the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they are doing evil. Be not rash with your mouth, nor let your heart be hasty to utter a word before the gods, for they are in heaven, and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few, for a vision comes with much concern, but a fool's voice with many words.
When you make a vow to the God, do not delay paying it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you vow. It is better that you should not vow than that you should vow and not pay. Let not your mouth lead you into sin. And do not say before the messenger that it was a mistake. Why should the gods be angry at your voice and destroy the work of your hands? For when dreams increase and words grow many, there is vanity. But the gods are those which you must fear.
If you see in a province the oppression of the poor and a violation of justice and righteousness, do not be amazed at the matter. For the high official is watched by a higher one, and there are yet higher ones over them. But this is gain for a land in every way, a king committed to profitable fields.
He who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with his income. This also is meaningless. When goods increase, they increase who eat them. And what advantage has their owner but to see them with his eyes? Sweet is the sleep of a laborer, whether he eats little or much, but the full stomach of the rich will not let him sleep.
There's a grievous evil that I have seen under the sun. riches were kept by their owner to his hurt, and those riches were lost in a bad venture. And he is the father of a son. He has nothing in his hand. As he came from his mother's womb, he shall go again, naked as he came, and he shall take nothing of his toil that he may carry away in his hand. This also is a grievous evil. Just as he came, so shall he go. And what gain is there to him who toils for nothing? Moreover, all his days he eats in darkness, in much vexation and sickness and anger. Behold, what I have seen to be good and fitting is to eat and drink and be merry, and all the toil with which one labors under the sun, the few days of his life that the gods have given him, for this is his lot. Everyone likewise, to whom the gods have given wealth and possessions and power to enjoy them, to accept one's lot and rejoice in one's toil, this is the gift of God. For he will not much remember the days of his life, because the gods keep him occupied with joy in his heart. There is an evil that I have seen under the sun, and it lies heavy. Children.
A man to whom the gods give wealth, possessions, and honor so that he lacks nothing of all he deserves. Yet the gods do not give him power to enjoy them. But a stranger enjoys them.
This is meaningless. It's a great evil.
If a man fathers 100 children and lives many years, so that the days of his years are many, but his soul is not satisfied with life's good things, and he also has no burial, a stillborn child is better off. For it comes in vanity and goes in darkness, and in darkness its name is covered. Moreover, it has not seen the sun or known anything, yet it finds rest rather than he. Even though he should live 1,000 years twice over, yet enjoy no good.
Not all things go to the same place.
All the toil of man is for his mouth, yet his appetite is not satisfied. For what advantage has the wise man over the fool? And what does the poor man have who knows how to conduct himself before the living? What your eyes see in front of you is better than your wandering appetite.
This also is a vanity and a striving after the wind. Whatever has come to be already has been named, and it is known to man, and that he is not able to dispute with one stronger than he. The more words, the more meaningless. And what is the advantage to anyone? For who knows what is good for someone while he lives the few days of his vain life, which he passes through like a shadow? Who can tell a man what will be after him under the sun?
good name is better than precious perfume, and the day of death is better than the day of birth. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for this is the end of all mankind, and the living must lay it to heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by sadness face the heart is made glad. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. It is better for a man to hear the rebuke of the wise than to hear the song of fools. For as the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of a fool. This also is meaningless. Surely oppression drives the wise into madness, and a bribe corrupts the heart. Better is the end of a thing than its beginning, and the patient in spirit are better than the proud in spirit. Be not quick in your spirit to anger, for anger lodges in the heart of fools. Say not, why were the former days better than these? For it is not from wisdom that you ask this. Wisdom is good with an inheritance, an advantage to those who see the sun. For the protection of wisdom is like the protection of money, and the advantage of knowledge is that wisdom preserves the life of him who has it. Consider the work of God. Who can make straight that which he has made crooked?
In the day of prosperity, be joyful. And in the day of adversity, consider the gods have made the one as well as the other, so that none shall ever learn what will come next.
In my ephemeral life, I have seen all things. There is a good man who dies and is doing justice. And there is a wicked man who prolongs his life in evil doing. Don't be overly good. And don't make yourself too wise. Why should you destroy yourself? Be not overly wicked, nor be a fool. Why should you die before your time? It is good that you should grasp this, and from that truth do not withhold your hand, for the one who fears the gods shall escape both.
Wisdom gives strength to the wise man. More than 10 mighty men strengthen a city.
Surely there is no good man on earth who does good and never sins.
Do not take to heart all the things that people say, lest you hear your servant cursing you. Your heart knows that many times you yourself have cursed others.
All this I have tested by wisdom. I said, I will be wise, but was far from me. That which has been is far off and deep, very deep. Who can find it out? I turned my heart to know and to search out and to seek wisdom and the scheme of things and to know the wickedness of folly and the foolishness that is madness. And I find something more bitter than death.
The woman whose heart is snares and nets, hands are fetters.
He who pleases the gods escapes her, but the sinner is taken by her.
Kohath says this is what he found, by adding one thing to another to find the scheme of things. His soul has searched repeatedly, but he has not found her. One man among thousands, he says, he found, but a woman among all these he found not.
The only one I found that the gods made man upright, but they have thought out many schemes.
is like the wise man, and who knoweth the interpretation of a thing. The man's wisdom maketh his face shine, and the hardness of his face is changed.
I say, keep the king's command, because of God's oath to him. Be not hasty to go from his presence. Do not take your stand in an evil cause, for he does whatever he pleases. For the word of the king is supreme. And who may say to him, what are you doing? Whoever keeps a command will know no evil thing, and the wise heart will know the proper time and the just way. For there is a time and way for everything, although man's trouble lies heavy on it. For he does not know what shall be, and who can say what shall be? No mortal has power to retain his life or power over the day of death. There is no discharge from war, nor will wickedness save those who are given to it.
All this I saw while considering all of which is done under the sun, when man had power over to his hurt. Then I saw the wicked buried. They used to go in and out of the holy places and were praised in my city where they had done such things. This also is meaningless. Because the sentence against the evil deed is not executed speedily, the heart of the children of men is fully set to do evil.
Though a sinner does evil 100 times and prolongs his life, yet I know that it will be well with those who fear the gods, because they are reverent in their presence. But it will not be well with the wicked, neither will he prolong his days like a shadow, because he does not fear the gods.
What does this happen on the earth? That there are good people who receive what is due to the wicked, and there are wicked people who get what the good deserve. I say this also is an absurdity, but I commend joy, for man has nothing better than the sun, but to eat, drink, and to be merry. For this will go with him in his labor through the days of his life which the gods have given him under the sun. When I study to know wisdom and to see the business that is done on earth, how neither the day nor the night do one's eyes sleep. And then I saw all of the work of the gods, that man,
he cannot find out the work that is done under the sun. However much a man may toil in seeking, he will not find it out. Even though a wise man claims to know,
all this Qoheleth laid to heart, examining it all, how the righteous and the wise and their deeds are in the hands of God. Whether it is love or hate, a man cannot know. Both are before him. It is the same for all, since the same thing happens to the righteous and the wicked, to the good and the evil, to the clean and the unclean, to him that sacrifices and him that does not sacrifice. As the good one is, so is the sinner. And he who keeps his oath is as he who breaks his oath.
This is the evil that is done under the sun. The same thing comes to all of us. The hearts of the children of men are filled in with evil, and it lies in their hearts while they live. And after that, they go to the dead. But he who is joined with a living has hope, for a living dog is better than a dead lion. But the thing living know that he will die, and the dead know nothing. They have no more reward, and the memory of them is forgotten. Their loves and their hate and their envy have already perished, and forever they have no more share in all that is done.
Go your way, eat your bread with joy, and drink your wine with a merry heart. For God now accepteth thy works. Let your garments be always clean. Let your head lack no ointment. Live joyfully with the wife whom you love all the days of your meaningless life that he has given you under the sun. because that is your portion in life and your toil at which you toil under the sun. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For there is no work or thought or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol to which you are going.
I saw under the sun the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches of men to understanding, nor favor of men of skill, but time and chance happen to them all.
Like fish that are taken in an evil net, and like birds that are caught in a snare, so the children of men are snared at an evil time, when suddenly it falls off.
I have seen this wisdom under the sun, and it seemed great to me. There was a city with a few men in it, and a great king came against it and besieged it, building great siege works against it. But there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his widow delivered the city. No one yet remembers that poor man, but I say that wisdom is better than might. Though the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. The words of the wise heard in quiet are better than the shouting of a ruler among fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good.
Dead flies make the perfumer's ointment give off a stench, so a little folly outweighs wisdom and honor. A wise man's heart inclines him to the right, the fool's to the left. Even when the fool walks on the road, he lacks sense, and he shows himself a fool to everyone. If the anger of the ruler rises against you, do not leave your place, for calmness will lay great offenses to rest.
I have seen this evil under the sun, error coming from the ruler himself. Folly is set in many high places, and the rich sit in a low place. Why have I seen slaves on horses, and princes walking the ground like slaves?
He who digs a pit may fall into it, and a serpent may bite him who breaks through a wall. He who quarries stones may be hurt by them, and he who splits logs is endangered by them. If the iron is blunt and one does not sharpen the edge, he must use more strength, but wisdom helps one to succeed. If the serpent bites before it is charmed, there is no advantage to the charmer.
The words of a wise man's mouth win him favor, but the lips of a fool consume him. His talk is folly from the beginning, and the end of his talk is evil, insanity. A fool multiplies words, though no man knows what shall yet be. And who can say what shall be after him? The toil of a fool wearies him, for he does not know the way to the city.
Woe to you, O man, when your king is a child, and your princes feast in the morning. Happy are you, O man, when your king is a well-born son, and your princes feast at the proper time, for strength and not for drunkenness. Through sloth the roof sinks in, and through indolence the house leaks.
Bread is made for laughter, and wine gladdens life, and money answers everything. Even in your thoughts, do not curse the king, nor in your bedroom curse the rich, for a bird in the air will carry your voice, or some flitting thing will whisper the matter.
Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Give a portion to seven, or even to eight, for you know not what disaster may fall upon the land. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves on the earth. And if a tree falls, whether to the south or to the north, in the place where it falls, there will it lie. He will never sow who waits for some sign, and he who watches heaven will not reap.
You do not know the way the soul comes to the secrets of a pregnant woman's womb, so you do not know the work of Elohim, who makes all things. In the morning, plant your garden, and at evening, withhold not your hand. For you do not know which will prosper, this or that, or whether both alike will be good. Light is sweet, and it is pleasant to the eyes to see the sun. So if a person lives many years, let him rejoice in them all. Let him remember that the days of darkness will be many. All that comes is vanity. Rejoice, you young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart in the sight of your eyes, but know that for all these things the gods will bring you into judgment. Let not your hearts be troubled, and put away pain from your body, for youth and the dawn of life. Amen.
Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened and the clouds return after rain, in the day when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men are bent and those who look through the windows are dimmed and the doors on the street are shut, when the sound of grinding is low, and one rises up at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of song are brought low. They are afraid of what is high, and terrors are in the way. The almond trees blossom, the locust drags itself along, and desire fails, because man is going to his eternal home. And the mourners go about the streets before the silver cord is snapped, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel is broken at the cistern, and the dust returns to dust as it was, and the spirit returns to the God who gave it.
Meaningless. It's all meaningless.
Besides being wise, Koheleth also taught the people knowledge, weighing and studying and arranging many proverbs with great care. Koheleth sought to find words of delight, and justly he wrote words of truth.
The words of the wise are like goads, and like nails firmly fixed, are the collected sayings they are given by one shepherd. O child, beware of anything beyond these, of making many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness to the flesh.
The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment, for every secret thing, whether good or evil. Heaven and on earth, and God has blessed us abundantly. And friends, at this time, we continue our time of worship as we receive the morning offering. with me. Let us sing together one verse of Abide With Me as our song of thanksgiving and as also as our closing hymn. Let us join our voices together. Friends, we go from this place with the not often heard words of Qohelet, the teacher who invites us, challenges us, encourages us to struggle a bit with what is meaningful, what has God placed on our hearts and our minds in this world to draw us closer to one another and to God. So go from this place seeking the presence of God that is indeed always with you, and the love and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the courage that it takes from the Holy Spirit to embark on this journey together. Alleluia.